Today on Seculo, could Donald Trump be House Speaker? His response, whatever's best for the country, and who else may be up for the job. We'll talk about it all today on Seculo.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Folks, there is a ton to talk about today. You know, from the broadcast yesterday to the Seculo Brothers podcast, it was very unclear, but it looked as we were on the Seculo Brothers podcast that Kevin McCarthy was going, and he is gone. There is no Speaker of the House at the moment. This was interesting that came up, something we all didn't really pay a lot of attention to, but post 9/11, I think in a good move to ensure that if there was ever another major attack on the U.S. and especially on our politicians, remember one of those planes wanted to target the U.S. Capitol, that there would be enough line of succession in place to keep the government functioning. But the list is secret. And we found out yesterday who was first. There's six people on the list, and they update it every year. And it was a Congressman Patrick McHenry out of North Carolina. Interesting.
You know him?
Interesting there enough. He was the Students for Bush director within the George W. Bush campaign in 2000. I was the Students for Bush director in the George W. Bush campaign in 2004. So when I got that job, he reached out immediately to me and shared all his notes because between 2000 and 2004, there were some technological advances, but they were pretty slim. We were still doing a lot of real on-the-ground grassroots. So I do know him from the political world. I would say this, he's a great conservative, big on the budget. I don't think he's the type that wants to be, at this point, Speaker of the House. I don't want to put words in his mouth because I think he really likes getting into the budget details. That's why he's there. But again, I think it's good to have him there. He made that right time move. Let's not rush the vote. Let's take October 11th. And then we're hearing some names. We've heard Scalise. He hasn't fully put his name out there yet. The first person who has is Jim Jordan. I tweeted out this morning. I said, you know, basically, other than if President Trump, and I think Jim Jordan would probably agree with me, would take this job as Speaker, because you don't have to be in Congress, Jim Jordan would be my first choice. And I think Matt Gaetz would be pretty happy with that, too. The Democrats would be,
Well, he wouldn't get any Democratic votes, but he doesn't need Democratic votes. I think he'd get every Republican vote.
No, and I think
Jim's very well liked. He's the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, which is probably the most powerful committee in the House.
Stood up with us, the ACLJ.
We've been friends of the ACLJ for 20 years. Yeah, we hosted some events with him recently.
Life, the IRS, the two-tiered system of justice, going after the DOJ. The
weaponization committee issues.
Assisting during the impeachment trial after it moved to the Senate. It would be behind closed doors.
Right.
Assisting us. He's just someone that we've worked with a long time, and he helped us put forward our clients during that IRS targeting so that they could testify before Congress to the American people that led to those firings at the IRS, a complete redo of the IRS, and really, for a number of time, and really until the Biden administration, we had an IRS that was under control. Big thanks to, of course, the work of the ACLJ and those Tea Party groups that were willing to take a stand and fight back and sue the IRS. But Jim Jordan really kind of made them stars, gave them the ability to tell their story to the American people. So I would love to hear your thoughts on this. A Jim Jordan as Speaker of the House. It's almost hard to believe that it could happen. But at that point, even though I don't like what Matt Gaetz did, I might give him a little bit more of a pass.
Well, you know, look, what Matt Gaetz did is done. There's no point in, you know, trying to relive that. That we've crossed that bridge.
Yeah.
So now you deal with what you've got. There's also talks about President Trump being asked if he would be interested. He said he might be. You don't have to be a member of the Congress to do it, so that would be an also interesting one. We want your comments on all that at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Hey, by the way, yesterday, 117 of you became recurring members, became ACLJ champions. We want you to be a champion of life, a champion of liberty, a champion of freedom. You become an ACLJ champion when you make your gift, and you make it monthly as a recurring gift. We encourage you to go to aclj.org. That's aclj.org and become an ACLJ champion. This will budget for us. This is what we're trying to do. We have 15,000 champions now, probably 15,200. We really want to get that by this time next year to 30,000. That's the goal. It doubles that budget for that group. So become an ACLJ champion today at aclj.org.
Secchio. So day three of the Trump trial begins in New York. He decided to appear another time?
Yeah.
You know why?
He's owning the airwaves.
I mean, going in and going out, he gets two big hits a day and gets to say whatever.
And everybody's covering it.
What do you think about the gag order? I wanted to ask you about that because I don't like gag orders in general, especially when you're a public figure.
It's a civil trial. I think that's ridiculous. Criminal trial's a little bit different because of due process concerns.
What he was trying to show was that the whole system against him is a bunch of people with photos with all their Democrat friends.
And here's what they can't be. This is what I think this judge is wrong. Yeah. You cannot. This is what they should not be doing. They let the DA, or in this case, the Attorney General, run her campaign. I'm going to get Trump.
Right.
They file a nasty 200-page complaint alleging all these fraudulent activities. And then they say he can't defend himself publicly other than in the courtroom. Well, that's ridiculous. They've already made the statement. So I don't like him. I think they violate the First Amendment's free speech clause.
I saw he deleted the tweet, I'm sure, advice of counsel. Would you appeal it? I don't like gag orders.
I don't like gag orders. I don't know if it means enough because I don't think he's going to be there that many more days.
It was not real broad. It was very limited to court staff, and it involved everybody.
Yeah.
So it also keeps – Letitia James could also violate it.
Right.
But in general
– It was aimed at Trump.
I like the First Amendment.
So do I.
And I think if you're a public official, you've got to be able to defend yourself in the court of public opinion.
Here's another question on the Kevin McCarthy thing. What does he do next? He's not running. We know that.
You know, he's a successful business person.
Very. Is he going to stay in Congress?
I think he'll finish out his term, and that'll be it.
That's what I think. And how risky then does his seat become?
Very.
Yeah.
Any seat in California can become risky. There's only a handful of seats in California that are solid Republican. Usually you have to build that relationship that he's built over time to get independents to vote for you. And I think it was an unfortunate day. I don't think we should be here this day. I think if we can get Jim Jordan out of this as an outcome, maybe that 24 hours of craziness was worth it. But I'm not sure Jim Jordan would even say that.
Yeah.
I think, again, because he's going to have to start from scratch with a year to go, and he's running a huge investigation.
Right.
At the Judiciary Committee and the Weaponization Committee, and then he's got to be Speaker, and they've got an impeachment inquiry going on. I mean, he'd have to triple his team.
Yep.
But let me tell you something. If you want a fighter, I mean, he might not win every battle.
What would he do if Donald Trump said, because Donald Trump's indicated he might do it. What would he do?
You know, I'd have to ask him himself. I would assume, because he's a big supporter of President Trump, that if President Trump really wanted that position and the votes were there for it, which, again, are they? I don't know yet.
Those 10 people could be?
Nancy Mace, who voted against McCarthy, she's not a huge fan of Donald Trump.
Right.
Though we know Gates is.
Right.
So, I mean, it would be very unique, but it would also take him off the campaign trail.
Yeah.
So it's a... It's a decision. I think it's an honor, and it shows how much – what it really does is show to all those other Republican candidates that the House would like me to come be their leader. So you think you're going to beat me in this presidential primary? I think, again, I mean, I saw Governor DeSantis on with Neil Cavuto, who's a really nice guy. And usually, even with interviewers he doesn't agree with, he's nice, always has been to me, even with the tougher questions. And he said to Ron, he's like, why would Donald Trump debate you? And you're going down in the polls. And Ron's answer was, well, people haven't voted yet. And that's true. You never know what's going to happen. But Ron also said something interesting, too, about these debates. He said, you know, as long as there's seven of us out there, he's not going to come. He's like, if it was me and him, he might have to come. Because an hour and a half of Ron DeSantis getting questions, or him and two other people,
different,
maybe puts pressure on him. But Donald Trump's actually called for them to cancel the final debate.
Yeah.
I don't think they will.
They're not.
But it has not helped really any networks, and it's certainly not educating any voters. You heard from Tulsi,
and then you got
she also works with Fox. She said it on Fox with Jesse Waters, who's a big Fox Times primetime guy, and they all said they couldn't get through it. It looked like not even like major league, but it looked like the minor leagues.
It sure did. All right, let's go ahead. We're taking phone calls 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Bill, who's calling from Wyoming on line one. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Bill.
Hi, thanks for letting me give my response. I kind of like the idea of Jim Jordan because I tend to think of him as maybe a Newt Gingrich 2.0. But I think we need to, now this is my own personal opinion, is I think we need to keep an eye on Gates. After what I've been seeing him going through.
I'm not disagreeing with you, by the way. Why do you say that?
I'm sorry?
I'm not disagreeing with you on the Gates thing. Why are you saying it?
I think he's trying to grab power or something. I mean, this kind of reminds me of what happened with McCain. And it just makes me nervous about the GOP.
Bill, I think you're right. I think this is a power play by Matt Gaetz. He was successful. He got the speaker removed. I'm not happy about that, but you got to move on now, and they got to do it. But yeah, there's something else behind. It wasn't just a situation with his dislike of Kevin McCarthy.
No. I mean, what we clearly know here is that he was willing. There was all these photos up, I mean, with him and Ilhan Omar. I mean, literally, you had Ilhan Omar smiling at him doing this, and he was on the side. He was talking to AOC. There was it's not him so much as a few of these others that joined him into this chaos. And again, if we can get this figured out in the next day or two, then you know we can move on. Politicians are politicians. I think Kevin McCarthy did the right thing by not trying to make a deal with Democrats. No one's ever going to be able to accuse him of that. He did not try to make a deal with Democrats to stay in power. He stuck to his principles. He lost it by about 6 votes. That's where it was. If it was 5 or more, he was going to be out. It ended up around, 10 or 11? Again, we're moving forward, though, now. It's interesting.
You have no choice. You have to move forward.
And there will not be votes until October 11th, which is not that far away. So we know the first official person who's put their name forward is our good friend, Congressman Jim Jordan. There will be others, certainly. But again, you also want to look at people. You've got the Donald Trump thing hanging out there. I mean, there's a lot of interesting moments.
Well, listen to what Donald Trump said. Let's play this.
I think he's saying if it would be the best for the American people and the Republican Party. He's the leading candidate for the Republican Party. Putting him in Washington, D.C. full-time
may not be
the best place for him to be.
That's kind of
it's an honor to be asked. It's an honor that he's getting that many phone calls.
The third in line in succession would be if there's something happens to the president or vice president, you're it.
But it also doesn't prevent, because we see this with Menendez, it doesn't put a toll on all these cases.
No, it does not.
So he'd be speaker, running for president, and dealing with
lawsuits.
Four criminal and two civil.
Yeah, including having in the criminal case, you have to be there.
Yeah.
They can compel your attendance. All right, we're taking more calls. 1-800-684-3110. Susan's calling from Kentucky.
Hey, Susan.
Hello. I just have a couple of comments. First of all, I'm calling to say it's kind of disappointing that, I was shocked to see all this happen so quickly. And then having to delay a vote until next week, isn't that going to delay a lot of the work that they need to do on the bills and getting the budget done?
Yeah, look, I do think it's going to create a delay, but I also think they need a week to get their house in order. I mean, there is not a unity candidate right now, as far as we can tell.
No, I think that Jim Jordan, I haven't seen Matt Gaetz respond yet on Jim Jordan. I did see him respond on some other individuals, but it would be interesting to see, again, where is that group of 10? In my perspective, if you take Donald Trump out of it, which, again, I think would be a long shot, not that he wouldn't necessarily have the votes, but he's on the campaign trail, he's facing all these other issues. Do you want to add that to your weight as well? If Jim Jordan could be the Speaker of the House, the Democrats really miscalculated yesterday. And I would, in some weird way, it's a reverse from yesterday. I'd be thanking Matt Gaetz for what he did, because I don't think he'd want, I'm not sure this is what he thought would happen either. But again, we just don't know how this will all end up. It's a long time between now and the 11th, a week in politics, especially amongst Republican politics. That's a lot of wheeling and dealing when they're not on the floor and there's no other business being done. I think the reason Congressman Patrick McHenry did this is so the American people don't have to go through 5 days of watching them vote after vote after vote. So he's trying to do it that by the time they come back next week, there's going to be a vote and that's going to be the speaker.
Yeah.
Will that work? Remains to be seen, but I think it's a different strategy in the past to make it look less chaotic on Capitol Hill.
On Monday, we launched a brand new project at the ACLJ. If you make a monthly donation to the ACLJ, you now become part of our vital group called our ACLJ Champions. You become a champion for life, a champion for liberty, and a champion for freedom. Our cases, as you know, take months, sometimes even years, and that's why your sustaining monthly support is so critical. Today, for instance, Jordan has just cut a report that's going to be played before the UN's Human Rights Council on Israel. So please consider becoming a member of the ACLJ's Champions Group to donate and join the fight. Just go to aclj.org/champion. And sustaining gifts means a monthly contribution to the ACLJ. We've had over 200 of you join in the last 2 days. I want to keep that momentum up. If we could add 100 a day over the course of a year, we could double the number of sustaining members, the number of champions we have. That would be a significant, it'd be a $6 million increase to our budget. That simple.
Yeah, folks, go to aclj.org /champions. Make that recurring donation, whatever amount you can. It really supports our work. Welcome back to Secular. Amidst of some chaos in Washington, D.C., it is great to be joined by our good friend, Senator Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee. And Senator Blackburn, I did want to get your thoughts, not into the weeds about what the House of Representatives is going through right now, but just to kind of give our audience an update on how it affects the work, or maybe it doesn't, of the U.S. Senate. When you have a House which has no speaker, at least until next week, and major legislation, more deadlines coming, war in Europe, and you never know when an emergency may happen. So how much does it affect the work of the U.S. Senate when the House is in disarray?
When the House is in the state that they are right now and without a speaker, then their committees cannot meet. They cannot send us appropriations bills. They cannot continue their investigations. And they cannot focus on securing the southern border. So we are hopeful that the House will get their act together, that they will quickly elect a speaker, and that they will be able to push forward on some of the issues that we hear about every day. The open border and crime, the issues with inflation, the necessity of cutting federal spending.
You know, Senator Blackburn, I know this issue, and that was very insightful, because I wanted people to understand it doesn't just affect the House of Representatives. It affects the U.S. Senate, too, because you're not getting pieces of legislation through. They're not committees aren't working, so it's not moving up to the next level. But I know an issue you're very concerned about is the human trafficking, specifically missing migrant children, even inside the U.S. Right now, the report by the Department of HHS and from Becerra, at DHS, all these reports that there are 85,000 missing migrant children in the United States of America.
I want to ask you about that, Senator, because obviously you're concerned about it. You have been raising this issue over with HHS. But the idea that there's 85,000 that we know of missing kids floating around the United States somewhere, you have to assume a portion of those are in sex trafficking, which is also involves drugs and everything else. It's horrific. It's a human tragedy. What's your sense of where we are on this, and what are we doing to combat it?
And where we are on this is that we cannot get an answer from HHS or DHS where these are. And, of course, the Office of Refugee Resettlement is who is in charge of these 300,000 unaccompanied alien children that have come in on Joe Biden's watch. Now, out of that, Health and Human Services and their Office of Refugee Resettlement says that they vetted sponsors. They sent these children to vetted sponsors. Well, then we find out that they have loosened the requirements on vetting these sponsors. And because of a New York Times report, we were able to find out that there are whistleblowers, there are people in ORR and HHS that have highlighted that this is an issue. They chose these sponsors, and then they call back 30 days later to check on the children, and they can't find the sponsors or the kids. Now, some of these children have been found working in factories, working in meat processing plants. We don't know if these children are dead or alive. We do not know if they're working for gangs or if they're into drug trafficking or if they're, as you said, Jay, into sex trafficking. But we do know that there are individuals who now are not picking up the phone and saying, yes, the child is being cared for, they're being given health care, food, clothing, and education.
All right, because the second part of my question is, you specifically have asked HHS and DHS to respond to this crisis and set forth a plan. And it sounds like, and we're showing to our audience that's watching us on TV or on any of our social media platforms, the letter that you sent to Javier Becerra, the Secretary of HHS, Health and Human Services. And what was the response from that office?
Well, they gave me the first letter I sent, and by the way, this goes back to March, and I sent the letter over after he could not answer the question in the hearing and said he was even unaware of this number. So I sent a letter asking for some specifics, and then I got back a letter in June that was about process. So I sent a letter back over to them to find out what they're doing to locate these children, because these children, we do not know their whereabouts. We do not know their condition. We do not know if they're being used as drug runners or if they're being used in labor gangs or if they've been forced into an MS-13 gang or if they're being put into a sex trafficking ring. And we know the cartels do this. The cartels have turned human trafficking into a $150 billion a year business. And we have talked to some of these women that came out of these cartel sex trafficking rings, and they would be raped repeatedly day after day after day.
I wonder, you know, I've been concerned about the human suffering aspect of this for years, for decades, actually. And it seems like now it's reached a fevered pitch, and that the numbers that are staggering. When we say 85,000, by the way, that's 85,000 that we know of. Who knows how many it is? And these children are probably in very desperate situations. And these are young kids generally. So, you know, Senator, I appreciate you raising this issue. I'm disappointed that HHS and the Biden administration comes back with their usual nothing. I mean, the Secretary of Homeland Security, Mayorkas, it's ridiculous.
I mean, I would ask, Senator, you know, these people have children and grandchildren. How are they this heartless that they wouldn't care about these 85,000 kids? I mean, you think it'd be the top of their priority. How can they be that heartless in Washington, D.C., and play politics with this?
It is astounding to me that in order to move these kids along and get them off their watch, they loosen and lessen the vetting requirements of who is going to take one of these children as a sponsor. And then we find out that this number cannot be found at all. And as you said, that is what we know. The other thing is, when you look at kids that are being presented with a minor, with an adult, but the adult has no papers on that child. Well, during the Biden administration, all of these people that brought a child to the southern border, there was a DNA test, a 45-minute DNA test, and it confirmed the familial relationship between child and adult. And the Biden administration said that takes too long, so they've eliminated it. Well, when we did the DNA testing, what we found out was fully a third of those children were being trafficked.
Yep.
So the number is even greater than the number that HHS cannot find.
Senator, we appreciate you taking a stand on this. I want you to know our offices in Washington and our affiliates around the country are standing with you and do anything we can to help you on this. Thanks for bringing this to our attention and to the attention of our members and our audience. Senator Blackburn, thanks for taking the time with us today.
Thank you. Bye now.
You know, folks, yesterday we launched something special. If you make a monthly donation to the ACLJ, you become part of a vital group, our ACLJ champions. Become an ACLJ champion of life, of liberty, and of freedom. Our cases take months, sometimes years, and that's why your sustaining monthly donations are crucial. Today, I'm making a presentation by video, because we're still in the weird time at the UN, on supporting Israel. Please become a sustaining monthly member of the ACLJ. Go to aclj.org/champion. Make it a recurring donation today.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. So in history, the first time in history, a Speaker of the House has been removed by the motion to vacate the chair. It's easier to do that than ever before, but it has been done. Speaker McCarthy is no longer Speaker McCarthy, and he has announced he will not try and run again for this position. So there are names starting to pop up. Of course, Donald Trump's name is out there. He said, you know, he would do what's best for the country. I could see him doing it if he wasn't running for president again. It'd be very tough to be Speaker of the House facing all these cases and trying to get out to those early states. It's a great bully pulpit. You'd be speaking, you'd be passing policy, but you wouldn't get a ton done because you still got to deal with the Democrats in the Senate and Joe Biden in the White House. It would be their worst nightmare. But I think another person would be a pretty bad nightmare for him too is Jim Jordan. He is the first person to put his official name forward. And yep. As of right now, if depending on who else goes forward, if I could vote, which I can't because I'm not a member of the House,
yep.
That's where my vote would go.
I agree. But we've got Jim calling in from California who doesn't think so. So, Jim, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Yes, I understand that, and I could be wrong, but that Jim Jordan is against funding for Ukraine. Is that correct?
No. I think he's concerned about how much we're funding Ukraine and the lack of accountability. He wants to know how it's being spent.
Where are the weapons going? Whose pockets are the money? Is the money going to? And I think that's a fit. That does not mean you're anti-Ukraine. That means you just want good accounting. Yeah. And I think if that becomes anti-Ukraine, then that's just like propaganda from the left.
Okay. Well, I heard from some Christians that are generally against funding Ukraine. And I think Christians are on the wrong side of this. I have a nephew who's in the Army, and he just got back from serving in Europe. You can tell me exactly where, but he said it's very clear that Putin is evil, that what he's doing is evil, and that we need to stand up for the Ukrainians and Ukrainians and support them. And I think that, and including financially. And if you're against funding Ukraine, I think you're indirectly, well, you are. You're helping Putin, who's an evil guy.
I don't think that's fair. I don't think he even said they're against funding Ukraine.
Jim Jordan's never said he's against funding Ukraine. We'll check that out. But I know.
They want
accountability. Ukraine is notorious for its corruption.
It is still, during this war, one of the most corrupted countries in the world. So when you're
there
handing
are Democrats
over,
that are starting to say, wait a minute.
Yeah, like if we give this guy $1 billion, where is it really going? Is it really getting to the front lines? So again, it's one thing you're talking about weapons actually being delivered to the front lines. We're talking about hard dollars into one of the most corrupt countries in the world that's under war. So their systems of government aren't functioning. We need great accounting. And I think that's what's been lacking to the American people is the Biden administration cannot account for exactly how this money's being used. And when they get asked about when does this come to an end, the answer we get from Kirby, Dad, and it's just repulsive to me, is, well, it doesn't really matter because no U.S. troops are getting killed. But the effect on the U.S. economy is being felt.
Oh, you're seeing it in everything from gas prices to
gas
the lack
prices.
Of ammunition for our own troops, God forbid, we needed to engage in a battle.
Yeah, we're out of a lot of weaponry.
And that's a very bad answer to say, well, you know, it's not directly involving the United States. We're funding the thing.
By the way, Russia doesn't see it that way.
No, of course
they
not.
They see us as the main benefactor of Ukraine and the war that is killing Russian soldiers. And I'm not trying to defend Russia there, but I think saying... Yep.
We got Mike Pompeo coming up.
Yes.
So we're going to be able to talk to Mike Pompeo about that, former Secretary of State,
our senior
counsel.
Who's been very much a supporter of supporting Ukraine.
He is.
But understands that Biden has totally mishandled how to explain it to the American people.
Yeah, so we're going to be joined by our senior counsel for global affairs. And by the way, we have two members of the cabinet from the previous administration are on our team. And in large part because of our ACLJ champions. Because as Logan and Jordan said in the videos that you've seen, that's how we determine our monthly budget. We know what is going to be there. Anything else is over that is great. We want to double the number. We have 15,000 members. We want to have 30,000 in that champions group. So we want you to be a champion for life, a champion for liberty, and a champion of freedom. You do that by giving monthly and go to aclj.org/champion. And that is the way you can support the work of the ACLJ. And we encourage you to do that today.
Welcome back to Secular. We're taking your calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. There are a lot of calls, again, because President Trump's name has been out there. So I'll take one of them, which I think is kind of funny, too. Tim in New York on line two. Hey, Tim.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Hey, listen, I was thinking, I can't imagine President Trump, if he's the Speaker of the House, he'll be standing behind Joe Biden at the next State of the Union address. And I was wondering how that will fare out. I just thought I'd share that with you guys.
I just can't see him sitting there for the next, you know, legislative session when, in fact, he's campaigning and he's going to be compelled to be in courtrooms.
Yeah.
But so I don't know how serious I want to take what he said in light of all of that. So, you know, I think we got to take that a little bit with a grain of salt. Let's go to Fred, who's calling from Tennessee on line one.
Taking my call. I have two comments. One is I think Jim Jordan would be most excellent as Speaker of the House. But I would like to see Trump be Speaker of the House simply because he would drive the Democrats crazy.
The problem is he's running for president and he's going to have to go to criminal cases where he's going to have to attend. So I understand the poetic justice, but I think It would be difficult. Mike was going to be joining us by video. We've got him by phone because we're having some technical trouble. So welcome to the broadcast, Mr. Secretary. You remember the House of Representatives, a little chaos in your old stomping grounds yesterday.
More than a little chaos, and the shame of the chaos is that it was created without a solution. That is, I'm all about breaking things. We did that in the Trump administration. Happy to do it, but you always have to do it with an eye towards what's the outcome that you're looking to achieve. And whether we like it or not, President Biden is sitting in the White House. The Senate has the vote, and the next speaker. And I know all the folks who are thinking about it. I love Jimmy Jordan. He and I worked on the Benghazi report for months and months and months together. No Steve Scalise. These are good, solid conservatives, people who would do the kinds of things that your listeners and viewers on the ACLJ would love and admire. But we need to focus on the folks who are causing the problems for us, and that is the progressive liberal ring of the Democrat Party. There are no moderates. They all voted in lockstep with Representative Gaetz, every one of them. Every single Democrat voted alongside Matt Gaetz, and that is incredibly telling. And so we, as conservatives, as people who believe in religious freedom and protecting the unborn, need to stop the infighting in a way that doesn't have an outcome that will get us what it is we're actually aiming at. I'm happy to throw plates at the wall, but at the end of the day, you got to make sure that you got a full set of china so that you can actually deliver for the American people.
I mean, it seems to me like Secretary Pompeo, this is going to be a tough job for anyone to take following Kevin McCarthy because you've got the Gaetz types. It's like if you don't do exactly what they want on every position and they can keep getting Democrat support, the Democrats love this. And I guess he's just not figuring out that or doesn't care that Democrats love making the Republicans who are in the majority look like they're in disarray and look like they've got to now basically they didn't shut down government, but they've shut down the House of Representatives for a week to try and figure out who the next speaker will be. Maybe it will be someone that everyone likes and we'll kind of forget about it. But it also might be that we end up with some kind of consensus candidate that no one likes. And again, it was the idea, like you said, if you're going to start one of these plans, you've got to have the outcome as well. Matt Gaetz is just kind of now commenting on random people who are putting their names forward. He didn't come out there and say, you know, we want McCarthy gone because we want this person in and this is why. He had this, I guess, personal vendetta against McCarthy. It's politics. It's tough. McCarthy said he's not going to run again. I don't blame him for not going through that process again at all. But I think to the world, I always like to ask you that, to the world, this has got to look fairly absurd.
There's no doubt they are wondering what the heck is going on. I almost used a bad word there. they're asking what the heck is going on, and not because the Republican Party moved too far right or what didn't have their hands on this in the right way, but because there's no process that actually achieves the outcome. I would have no problem if they thought that Speaker McCarthy wasn't getting them to the right place and they had a better way to get there. I'm untroubled by that. This isn't about people. I know Kevin. I like Kevin, but I know Jimmy Jordan. I like him. This isn't about personality. This is to your point, Jay and Jordan. we have to deliver these outcomes. I heard Representative Gates yesterday speaking about $33 trillion in debt. Well, I have not heard him yet articulate a vision for how to fix that problem set. Instead, he's grandstanding about people and folks who he doesn't trust. Tell me what your plan is and how to get the votes necessary, how to win elections in a way that can actually deliver that outcome. That's the task for those of us who have stood up and claimed the mantle of leadership. We don't get the luxury of just writing op-eds and, you know, pontificating. We actually have to deliver outcomes. And I don't think that Representative Gates has any idea how we're going to get this country back in the right direction, how we're going to go win elections, reduce the debt, and build what families all across America are demanding.
So there's these reports also going on, Mike, that the Biden administration team is reportedly meeting secretly with the Saudis for what they're describing as a mega deal. And I would have thought the mega deal would have been having the Saudis, which you were prepared to execute as part of the Abraham Accords. That would have been a mega deal. What are you hearing about that? And what do you think about the approach they're taking to the Saudis? Because it's been on again, off again for Biden's entire term.
Well, I'm happy that they're having constructive conversations with the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. That's a good thing for our soldiers, sailors, and airmen and Marines. If Saudi were to recognize the right of Israel to exist, it takes down the risk of war. It increases prosperity. Sign me up. I am all for that. I don't know how the Biden administration believes they can deliver that when they are cozying up to the country that is threatening the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, that is Iran, right? They gave them $6 billion. We now learn that there was at least an influence operation that was inside the Biden administration from Iran. Maybe they were spies. Maybe it was part of their intelligence organization. But there's no doubt that Rob Malley was connected to an Iranian influence operation. When the Emiratis or the Kuwaitis or the Israelis or the Saudis see that, boy, they have to worry if America's got its head on straight. And it is hard to do a mega deal when you have decided that you have to balance Iran with the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. We were pretty clear. We knew who our friends were in the region. We knew when things went bad, who would be with us and who would be against us. And the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia was most certainly going to be with us.
You know, it's interesting. We've had an office in Jerusalem for decades, and we've done a tremendous amount of work in the Middle East. I think I look at the Abraham Accords, which obviously you were vitally involved in and negotiating, because that was, of course, the most historic moment in modern Israeli history, from the Israeli perspective. And I think it was also one of the most significant moments for those participating Arab countries that also agreed to participate and become part of the Abraham Accords. It was historic. Saudi Arabia was close. I mean, you were in those negotiations. How important would it be to have Saudi Arabia as part of the Abraham Accords?
It'd be game-changing, world-changing, Middle Eastern-changing for sure. I am confident that one day we will get there. I'm confident that Mohammed bin Salman, who is truly bringing the kingdom towards modernity each and every day, I am confident that they want to get there. We have to help them create the conditions where they can do it. It would create enormous prosperity for the region. It would push back against Iran. You know, you had an office in Jerusalem. I'm confident your people went to work every day,
yep,
unworried about incoming artillery or a missile from Saudi Arabia, but rather worried about one from Iran. This would be game-changing.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Thanks, as always, for your insight and your expertise. It really makes a lot, and we're thrilled that you're part of our team here at the ACLJ, Senior Counsel for Global Affairs, Mike Pompeo. This, folks, again, it points exactly to what I'm talking about. You just heard from the former Secretary of State, the former Director of the CIA, the former Member of Congress, who is currently now a Senior Counsel for Global Affairs for the ACLJ. Rick Grenell, former Director of National Intelligence, is a senior member, a senior advisor to the ACLJ. Tulsi Gabbard, member of Commerce, a Democrat. She left the Democratic Party, but she was a Democrat. Member of the military right now, senior advisor to the broadcast. And we are going to be prepared in the days ahead, and hopefully by the time we get to our December challenges, to announce possibly another lawyer joining us as part of our team of experts at the ACLJ. None of this happens without you. So again, there's been almost 30 of you today so far that have become champions at the ACLJ by supporting life, liberty, and freedom by giving monthly. That puts us at about 230 new members in that group. My goal, if we could do 80 to 100 a day for a year, folks, it would radically change our capacities to do more and more work. We want to encourage that to happen.
More and more cases are coming in. As you see, the left is getting more radical at the workplace, in schools, in every aspect of life. And we're getting calls daily. What can I do? What can I say? Am I going to lose my job if I say this? Am I going to lose my job if I don't do this? And so we're living this kind of new culture war. And people are reaching out to the ACLJ for assistance. We want to provide it. And we can provide better and even more assistance with your recurring donation if you become an ACLJ champion at aclj.org/champion and make that recurring monthly donation, whatever you can, and we can double our work. Back to Secul. We are taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I did want to take this call from Melissa in South Carolina because I think it's interesting too, because Jim Jordan is a busy guy. He's been a busy guy as long as I've known him on Capitol Hill, trying to get to the bottom of government corruption and these attacks on the American people. Melissa, welcome to Secul. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, Jordan. Thanks for taking my call. You know, back in January, Jim Jordan didn't want to be speaker. We saw him be voted and he kept declining. Now he may potentially put himself up there. But what happens to these committees that were created if we don't get a speaker that supports those committees that Kevin McCarthy created?
Oh, that would be a disaster. I mean, if you got to speak, I don't see that as realistic.
Okay.
Because I don't think they would get put in place. Jim Jordan initially did not want it because he really wanted to focus on the weaponization issue, which he has, like a laser beam. We have clients that we represent in front of those committees. He's now put his name up for speaker. There'll be others that you're going to hear about in the days ahead.
Interesting though, Melissa. Let's say he did become Speaker of the House, right? So he might not be chair of those committees anymore. When you're Speaker of the House, your staff quadruples.
Yeah, you can get a lot done.
He would be able to make sure that committee had as many resources and as much staff. They could start recruiting staff from all across the country, from the best law schools to the best forensic accountants to the best teams, because he'd be the Speaker of the House. So not only could he could double the power of the Oversight Committee with Comer, of the Financial Affairs Committee by Jason Smith, of the Judiciary Committee and whoever is the next chair there, of the Weaponization Committee. So as Speaker, he could even have a greater influence. I know that you like seeing him lead those committees. And he could be a unique speaker that sometimes does participate. There's not rules in place that say he can't show up to a hearing and ask questions. So I think we get used to that. And that's because speakers usually just don't have that time. But we're living in a different political time. You know, it doesn't take a horse and buggy to get home anymore. People have talked about the recesses being too long. I think that, again, if a Jim Jordan type got in there, he would make sure, we know what his big issues are. His big issues are the weaponization of the federal government, the border, and our national security, the economy. He would make sure that those people would be empowered with more resources than he has today in his own committee. I think he would make sure whoever led it would even have more power and a better team. So I'm not as concerned about that if he did become a Speaker of the House, because those are issues he certainly cares about. It would be a big shift, Ed, in the House to move someone like a Jim Jordan up to Speaker. It would be the first time a more grassroots fighter took over the Speaker of the House.
Yeah, I mean, this is a Tea Party guy, came in through the Tea Party. We've known him for over a decade. We've worked very close. It'd be great for the ACLJ and I think great for the country.
Straight talker, so,
yeah, we'll
fighter.
See. You know, there'll be other names I'm sure are going to come up as well, but no, I think he'd be great. Let's take another phone call.
Sure. We'll kind of dance around different. Richard's been holding on for 45 minutes. Thanks, Richard. You're on the air.
Yeah. The Trump becoming speaker is really a problem for me. I don't see any reason why he should even consider becoming speaker if it wouldn't help him postpone the indictment. I feel that it would just hinder him and his attorneys for preparing for these indictments with everything he has on his plate. I think it's just ludicrous that these
No, I think you're, look, I don't disagree. I think it would be a distraction at this point, because in those criminal cases, the civil case that he's been attending, he doesn't have to attend. Yep. But the criminal cases, he's going to have to attend. And they're starting in March. And he's also running for president. I agree. I there'd be some poetic justice maybe, but I think that the reality is not the best way, not the best use of his time right now.
And I think he likes, you know, he's poking everybody, saying, you know what, all these Republicans would love to have me come down to the House and be your leader. And how would the Democrats like that, to have to deal with Donald Trump every day of their life, not down the street at the White House, but in their face in the House of Representatives? And so I think, again, playing a little bit of that, I think that's a very unlikely scenario, because he's leading in the polls to be the next Republican candidate. He's got all these other issues to fight. As long as he's fighting those issues, his poll numbers go up. I don't think his poll numbers go up when he's fighting about getting continuing budget resolutions, Dad. I mean, right. That's just the truth. And that's something Jim Jordan has to consider. You know, what he does in Congress is very popular with the grassroots. So he, by himself, putting himself out there to become Speaker, he realizes you get criticized a lot more, because you're not just the head of the weaponization committee that's very popular, right, or investigating the Bidens and the DOJ and FBI corruption and listening to whistleblowers that's very popular among conservatives. You got to get budgets passed. You got to do things that people get really upset about on your side of the aisle if they don't get everything they want. But he's been in Congress long enough, and I think he's a tough guy. And again, it's going to take somebody. I don't want to go through 15 rounds of voting over 5 days.
They need to come up with a consensus candidate and move forward.
I think that's why they've said give it a week instead of doing that in public.
Yeah.
Do it behind the scenes, and then hopefully the American people kind of forget about this by the time we get to the next election.
All right, we're going to Waylon, who's calling in Colorado on line one. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. I'm pretty happy that McCarthy got voted out, because he was more of a Democratic line voter and advocate than he was a Republican.
Why do you say that? Why do you say that, Waylon?
Well, for one, let's just take the IRS funding. He promised that he was going to stop the funding for the IRS to hire all those people.
Yeah, there was only one problem. He did what he could, because we only had a 5-seat majority in the House and we didn't have the Senate.
I still think he could have got more than just $20 billion.
He couldn't. He couldn't. That's all he could get. I understand your frustration, but that's all he could get. So, but you know what? It doesn't matter at this point. He's out.
He could also put in delays to that money, and Lindsey Graham led a lot of those charges, too. So, kind of kick some of that can down the road to a next election cycle. All that money hasn't gone out yet. So, I think some of this is like, hey, you didn't give him 25-seat Republican majority. You gave him a 4- or 5-seat Republican majority and a Democrat Senate that was supposed to be Republican. So you weren't getting any bills to Biden's desk to even make him veto, because the Senate was voting him down.
Yep. Let's go ahead and take Benjamin's phone. Nope, he's gone. Okay, very good. All right, folks, again, as we close out this broadcast, well, how many do we add today of our okay, we're over 40 of our new champions, ACLJ champions. That's just from today, so far this morning, from the broadcast today. This is really important. We have a goal that, and this is a long-term goal, so it's kind of a plotting thing you're going to see with us. You're going to hear about this often. It's over in the next year. We have about 15,300 of our recurring donors that we call our ACLJ champions. We want to double. I'd like to get that to 30,000 in a year. It gives us a solid base so that as we add more experts, and that's what we're trying to do. Right now, we're trying to get more experts at the ACLJ. We've got Pompeo. We've got Grinnell. We've got, as you know, of course, Tulsi Gabbard. We want to, in addition to our own team, we're looking at some big-name lawyers that you would recognize as becoming part of this team as well. We want to expand that out for this broadcast, but also for our work. We want you to become an ACLJ champion. Let me encourage you what to do right now. Go to aclj.org/champion and become a champion of life, a champion of liberty, and a champion of freedom. And you do that with your recurring monthly gift. So whatever amount you donate, you just hit the recurring button, and that gift will be given to the ACLJ every single month. This is the way we can build out our expertise, build out our existing case volume, and be able to handle more cases, but also to acquire the team and the staff necessary for this new challenge, for this new generation that we're in. And we encourage you to become an ACLJ champion today at aclj.org.
forward slash champion. We'll talk to you tomorrow.